Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 5 in your hymn book, the hymn number 5 in the page 176 of your hymn book. It's a wonderful gospel hymn of praise. It says, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all the day long. O ye saints that dwell in the mountains of Zion, praise him, ever in joyful song. Let us lift up our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for his goodness and mercy, his love and his salvation toward us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn number 5 on the page 176. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our heart as the organist leads us in our praise.
Hey.
we just look to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's help and blessing in this, our missionary Sunday, that God's blessing will be upon our meetings morning and evening, and that we might know the Lord's presence, the Lord's speaking voice to our hearts today through His Word and through His truth. Our Heavenly Father, we do gather, Lord, before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come to Thee in and through the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee today afresh for the blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us whiter than the snow. We thank Thee, O God, today for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for one who fulfilled the law of God perfectly for us, the one who is indeed Jehovah Sekenu. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today that through the Lord Jesus Christ we are accepted in Thy holy presence. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Mediator, we can cry to Thee, Abba, our Father, and that we can seek Thee, Lord, and that we can call upon Thy name. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, for this wonderful privilege of this Thy day of gathering together with Thy people here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee. And Father, our prayer is that Thou would just bless our coming together here in Thy house, O God, today. We realize, Lord, that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen this evening that we might know a gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord with us and amongst us here in Thy house, O God, today. Now, Father, we return Thee thanks for all Thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us since we've last met together here in this fashion. We thank Thee for our health, our strength, our food and raiment, our homes, our families, our freedoms, our liberties that we have, even to gather here in this fashion around Thy Word with Thy people. And we give Thee thanks and we acknowledge, O God, as Thy people today, that every good and every perfect gift comes alone, O God, from Thee. And Father, we thank Thee, Lord, not only for the temporal mercies, but the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank Thee, O God, today that through faith in Him, we can rejoice today in the forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast pardoned our sins. Thou hast cast our sins into the sea of Thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore as the people of God. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for grace sufficient for our every time of need. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us day by day, in our going out and in our coming in. And Father, we thank Thee for the great prize before us of eternal life, of eternal glory. Now that hope for every believer, every child of God that is secure by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we do confess our sins before Thee. We acknowledge our faults, our failings, our shortcomings. O God, as Thy people, they are many. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood and create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. And Lord, prepare our hearts this day to meet with Thee and to worship Thee. And grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Bless all who have gathered with us here today. Bless and encourage every child of Thine in Thy house today. Build up every believer in their most holy faith. And for any, Lord, going through times of trial or difficulty, Lord, strengthen them. Any who may be cold at heart, may they know Thy restoring touch. And Lord, any with us today not saved, still out of Christ, Lord, speak to them especially today. And Father, we pray that by Thy Spirit and power and grace that they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. We thank Thee for our Sunday school and Bible class. And bless the ministry already to our children and our young people this morning. And Father, we pray that there'll be much fruit from that, even in the lives of our children and our young people. We pray for those that cannot be with us today. Lord, bless them and minister to them. Those who are sick and infirm, those who are led aside, bless them and encourage them. And others, Lord, who may be listening in online today, whoever they are, wherever, Lord, they might be, we pray that Thou would richly bless them by the mighty hand of God. We thank Thee, O God, for this missionary Sunday. And Lord, even as we hear of the need of Thy work, be it at home, be it afar, We pray that even as thy people, we might be challenged today to lift up our eyes and to look on the fields that are white, ready unto harvest. And Lord, to do what we can do as thy people, to be zealous for thy work, thy cause, and thy kingdom. And even, Lord, through these meetings, be pleased to lay thy hand even upon young lives, we pray, to give their life to the service of the Lord. Bless your servant, the Reverend Park, today. Anoint him, fill him with thy Spirit. Be unto him all that he would need and require. And Lord, bless him, truly may he be the Lord's messenger. Then the Lord's message, we pray, as he ministers to us today. Bless him in his own congregation there in Ballymoney. And Lord, as he would look after the work of the Missionary Council, and Lord, his labors in the Mission Board as well, we pray that thou will give him great help and wisdom, and use him there, we pray, for the furtherance of the gospel and to the spreading of the gospel in the regions beyond. Do bless our brother Sasha with us here today as well. We thank thee for his presence amongst us. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless him, bless his wife and family as they've come here from Ukraine. And we pray that thou wilt minister to them and meet their every need and encourage them and bless them in the ways of God. And we pray especially for the land of Ukraine today, that thou would intervene in mercy in that land. And that, Lord, thou wilt bless especially the testimony of your people there. Give them great courage, great hope, great strength. And that through their labors, that others, even in that land of great uncertainty at this time, would come to know the Lord as Savior. And intervene, we pray, and grant peace and stability to that land, we pray, and drive out the aggressor, we ask of thee, and have mercy there upon thy people and upon thy church in that land. Bless our own nation, have mercy upon it, turn the hearts of many unto the Lord in our land and in our nation. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our land, may they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family as well. And may the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel shine into that household, O God, we ask. Be with us now, we pray. Grant us a real sense of your presence. Lord, as this meeting would continue, we pray that thou would lead and guide by thy Holy Spirit. Give help in the missionary report, in the ministry of thy word, in the singing of thy praises. Do every heart good and glorify the Savior. For it is in his precious name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we give a very special welcome today to our guest preacher this morning, Reverend David Park, minister of our church in Ballymoney. We welcome our brother in the Lord's great name. It's nice to renew fellowship with him. He's come quite a journey today from Ballymoney, but he's come today to preach later on in our service, and then also to give an update on our missionary works connected with our church. A brief survey, a summary, really, around the world. He is chairman also of our Missionary Council, and he's much involved also in the work of our Mission Board, so he's heavily involved in the work of our missionaries at home and abroad. We thank him for his labours and his vision for that work, and we pray the Lord will bless him today. We also welcome our brother Sasha, who's with us here between Raymond and Celine, and he's come down with the Reverend Park. Sasha's come from Ukraine with his wife and family, and are staying in Ballymoney at this time, and we welcome Sasha, and we pray the Lord will bless him and his wife and family, and that they'll know the Lord meeting their every need at this time of great loss to them and to their country in this time of war. But we're going to hand back over now to the Reverend Park just to bring reporting. He'll say something also about Sasha and the work in Ukraine as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Porter, for the words of welcome. It's always a joy to come to Bethel. Good to renew fellowship with you. And great to be able to sing about Jesus living. We've been celebrating the fact that he is alive, with Easter being last weekend. Jesus lives, the mighty and strong to save. If you lived in Eastern Europe, you would be celebrating Easter today. There's a wee bit of a difference with the calendar, but they're rejoicing in the living Christ also. And as the Lord's servant has said, we have a friend with us, Sasha. He's able to speak for himself. He doesn't really speak English, and I don't speak any Russian. They're Russian-speaking people from Ukraine. But he's able to greet you, I think. So, Sasha, would you like to say who you are? Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm Sasha. You're from Ukraine.
We were practicing. Yeah, you can. He was practicing his phrases coming down in the car. Some of the roads we were on today are not the ones I would choose. I know how to come to Enniskillen, but I did put the sat nav on, brother. And a few times I said to Sasha, we're not going this way, we're going a different way. And of course, it reroutes you. And then we got to Cookstown, and it did try to bring me somewhere, which I did turn off right. And maybe you've traveled on that road before, I don't know. But it brings you through the mountains, and it was quite an experience. He thought he was back in Ukraine. He said the roads are a wee bit like that back there. I have learned Dobre Utra. That's good morning. So if you want to say that to him at the door on the way out, Dobre Utra, he'll know exactly what you're saying. I'll say something about Ukraine just in a moment or two. But first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak about the missionary work. And we greet you from the Mission Board as well as the Missionary Council. And we thank God for congregations like yourselves who are missionary-minded and have a view for the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, whether it is here in your Jerusalem or a little bit further afield, and then ultimately the uttermost part of the earth. The past 2 years have not been easy for the work of God anywhere, as we think of the pandemic and everything that COVID-19 has brought to the work of God. And it hasn't been easy in missionary service either. I mean, a lot of changes across the world in every aspect of life, in the world of business, politics, education, society, and family life, and not least God's work. But the Lord, in his merciful providence, opened up many doors of service, despite the lockdowns, despite the fact that many ordinary aspects of God's work through the mission field could not take place. The Lord was able to provide opportunities. I think of the children's work, and you will know that Sunday school work, children's meetings were closed down in our churches. We think of school work also. Our missionaries at home here could not get into the schools to do assemblies and school work in different scripture unions. But they were able to go online, and FPC Kids was born. And we want to commend Robert, Joyce, and Christina, who created these video messages called Bible Corner, and they were streamed every week. And we're glad to be able to say that some of these were used in schools when schools were back again. And we know of children who have come to profess faith in Christ as a result. So the Lord was pleased to put a seal upon that ministry. We think of our evangelists, and they were not able to go out and conduct their missions like our brother Noel Shields, Colin Maxwell, but they were able to do a work nonetheless, and you may have seen pictures or slides of them going out into various towns and cities in the province here, conducting open-air work, and then taking to the drive-in missions. And they were able to do that. And again, the Lord put his seal upon it. And we know of souls who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Generally, a lot of work went online. And here in Northern Ireland, during lockdown days, technology played a major part in our ongoing ministry. And that was replicated through our various fields of service, where we have churches and a missionary presence. The work of the Missionary Council was able to continue, and that all went online. It took a wee while to adjust to Zoom, but we eventually got there, and many of our council members were able to tune in, and life went on and business went on as usual. And that was so for the Mission Board. The Mission Board was able to continue with its work, and the subcommittees and prayer times were organized. We not only organized prayer times for our Mission Board and our missionaries, but we are able to link up with so many through the world in the various mission fields where we have a missionary presence. The annual Easter convention had to be adjusted as well, and we were able to go online. We're very thankful for the 2 years when we were in shutdown that the Ballymena Church opened up their facilities and their cameras, and we were able to broadcast on sermon audio and Facebook Live and on YouTube. And then you'll remember the Emergency Aid Fund was launched, and that was launched pretty soon into the pandemic. And we struggled in this part of the world. But you can imagine what it's like when there's no jobs, maybe no food on the mission field in the developing countries. We're very glad to be able to say that our churches throughout the province rose magnificently to this appeal. And we were able to send tens of thousands of pounds right across the world to help those that were in great need, especially due to the global pandemic. It was tremendous to see the videos and the photos from all across the world as we think of so many that were helped. Churches in Spain in the early stages of the pandemic, over in Liberia, where help was given there. In Uganda also, where families in the village around the school were given food packages. And also in Kenya, we have many families that are connected with the church work there over the years. In Nepal, the impact of the virus was quite extreme. And sadly, we lost some church members due to the illnesses. In this area, an effort was made to provide food packages right across 100 churches. So there were many families that benefited and were helped at that time. In fact, over 900 families in the land of Nepal. We also think of other parts of Asia that we were able to help with food packages. We think of Pakistan, we think of India, we think of the Philippines. Very thankful for the contacts that the Lord has opened up throughout Asia during the pandemic, especially over the past couple of years. You may know that Asia is the largest continent in the world with its 4.7 billion people. So that means that over half of the population of the world live in Asia. And the Lord opened doors, amazingly, in Nepal, India, Pakistan, and the Philippines. We have been laboring alongside the Nepal Free Presbyterian Church for quite a few years now, along with initially the Reverend Graham, and then Paul Thapa, the moderator of the church there, his pastors, his churches, the precious children's orphanage, and of course our own missionary who labors in that land. It was with great sadness that we learned of the home calling of the clerk of presbytery who died due to COVID-19. We were able to help his family in a practical way to see them through this time of great loss. A few months ago, our brother Paul Thapa contacted us to tell us how they were going out preaching the word in various villages, some very remote places. And in one particular village, the Lord was moving, and 8 souls came to know the Lord, and meetings were started, and they decided they would build a church. We were able to help in a practical way and send funding for the erection of that building. And we've seen the building now, we've seen photographs of it, and it is opened to the glory of God. In India, through our Bible college student, at Pankhur, the gospel has been preached, pastors' conferences have been held, and a church has also been started. So every week, at Pankhur is meeting with a group of people coming together for the hearing of the word. And there's young men, some of them are pastors, some of them are desiring to go into the ministry. We have interviewed them recently with a view to seeing how we can help them and mentor them and encourage them, for they too would like to become Free Presbyterians. Over in Pakistan, we have 3 main contacts, John, Deep, and Freya. By the grace of God, we've been able to financially support the education of 40 children in a Christian school in the city of Lahore, where our brother John works. We have also been able to help with the education of 90 children in the Carmichael School. And this is a school that we have built. We provided the funds for a building to go up. And every week, 90 children are gathering to be educated, but also to study the Word of God. And the gospel is preached there on a regular basis. And they've started Sunday school on the Lord's Day as well. And we just thank God for these openings that He has given to us. During the Christmas period, We were able to travel with our sister Deep to various remote parts of Pakistan. I didn't physically travel. I went by over the internet, but she was there, and the messages that we preached were translated. And we heard of a number of people coming to know the Lord. We heard of four ladies in one of the assemblies where we preached, trusted in Christ, and then another place, three families who profess faith in the Lord. New contacts have opened in the Philippines. These are men who are reformed, they are evangelical, they know about us, they've been in contact with the Free Church now for a number of years, and they are desirous that a Free Presbyterian Church would be commenced in the Philippines. So we have entered into discussions with them just to see how we can develop that, and we look to the Lord for wisdom. Recently, a few months ago, they went out on evangelism. There were 20 families came together from a Roman Catholic background, and every week they've been gathering, they've been listening to the Word of God, and this is a great opening for them as the gospel is preached. So glad to be able to report that the school in Uganda has been reopened. Have to say that her sister Noreen did a tremendous job during lockdown and prepared all those packages to get them out to the children of the school. And so they were studying, even though it was more remote for them as well. Noreen is home on deputation. She has to break her deputation a little bit because there's no one back there in Uganda now from the Free Church to oversee the work. So she's here for a couple of months. She'll be traveling back for a couple of months and then coming home again to continue with her deputation work. Pray for her as she travels around our churches. That's probably all I need to say in the wee overview. Let me just talk briefly about Ukraine. I think everyone's aware of what has happened from Mr. Putin saying he's not going to invade, even though he was gathering his troops and his tanks all around the border. He's not going to invade Ukraine, but he did it. The man cannot be trusted, as you know. I happened to be in Romania when the war broke out, and the church there where I was preaching, they were preparing church facilities to receive refugees that would flee from Ukraine. And of course, they've done that. They've done a wonderful ministry. They have seen Ukrainians coming to trust in Christ as their Savior, as a result. So even in the darkness where we see war and destruction, the Lord in his merciful providence has been pleased to bring others to Christ. So I returned home. My wife Susan and I, we began to discuss what could we do. We prayed about it. Lord, what can we do to help these people? And then six weeks ago right today, Donald Fleming was with us. He was at the evening service. He was speaking on the work in Ukraine. And afterwards, we were talking about a number of people that were sitting in Poland. They were desirous to come to Northern Ireland if it was possible. And he spoke about one little family. And he said, you know, this family of seven would like to come, but we've had to refuse them because no one is able to provide accommodation for a family of seven. We would have to split them up and send them to different places. So it was just then that Susan and I said, well, you know, we have accommodation here. We have rooms up in our, what we might call the third story or the attic rooms, and we could give accommodation for this family. It was just at that moment that Donald said, well, there's actually 28 of them altogether, and that has actually grown to 34. But interestingly enough, that first wee family is Sasha and his wife, Olya, and his five children. So if I can give you their names, Nastia, which is an abbreviation for Anastasia. And then Dennis, well, we're familiar with Dennis. And there's a David, we know that name too. And there's a Vika, and Vika, I think, is Victoria in English. So, and then there's Ruslan. Ruslan? Okay. And so this was the family of seven. We went over to our church then, to the Carson complex, and we showed Donald that part of the Sunday school facilities, and he said it would be wonderful if this group, who are all from the same church, could be put up in the same place. So we talked to the committee of the church, and they were 100% in support of this project. And so 9 of our Sunday school classes have been used now for bedrooms, 1 living room and 8 bedrooms to receive others who will be traveling. So that was going to house 19 of the church, 7 in our home, 6 in a bed and breakfast in Ballybogey. Have you ever heard of Ballybogey? I'm sure you have. And 2 other young ladies are out in Dunloy, which is not too far away, 34 altogether. 12 of them arrived last Saturday. The pastor, his wife, his 4 children, and 4 others. And 7 of them arrived on Thursday, and that was the family of 7. And there are others that are still waiting for the visas to be processed. So maybe you could pray about that. Pray that these folks will settle in. They have left difficult circumstances behind. They have family and friends back in Ukraine that were not able to get out. They have loved ones in that village that they come from. Russia has taken possession of it. The Russian army are there. The church is still meeting, but it's very dangerous for them to meet because if they're caught, it could mean their lives, of course, being taken away. So you pray for them. We think of other villages that are being bombed during this past few days. And these folks have family and friends that are living there, and they're very distraught. So pray for them as they settle in for a little time here with us in Northern Ireland. Remember those that are still sitting in Poland waiting for the visa applications to be processed. So thank you for the opportunity, brother, to come and to speak about these things. The Lord bless you.
Well, we thank the Lord's servant for that summary, really, a whistle-stop tour, really, of many missionary works across the world. And we just encourage you to remember these aspects of God's work, to pray for them. God's blessing would be upon them, and especially the situation in Ukraine. Pray for the families that have come over there to Ballymoney, they'll settle in, and that the Lord will meet their every need. But we do thank our brother for his interest and burden for the mission field and the missionary cause abroad. Now, can I welcome everyone this morning? Good to see you all gathered with us here today. And we welcome you in the Lord's great name. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. And we also welcome those who are viewing online as well. We pray the Lord will bless you and meet you at the very point of your need today through His Word. Just the announcements for the week are as follows. Remember the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. We encourage as many as possible to gather for prayer in the back room there. And then the final of our special missionary meetings tonight, 7 o'clock, our brother Mr. Chris Killen will be with us from Lisburn. He works with those involved in drug addiction and other addictions, and he'll be coming to bring a report in that work, also minister God's Word. And then there'll be an offering to help our brother in the work, all the loose offering, and then that which goes into an envelope or marked for Chris Killen will go towards his work as well. So remember that, please, this evening. Come back again, make it known, and invite and encourage others along. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We'll be long to take that meeting. And then Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting here in the church. And the other meetings also recommencing this week amongst the boys and girls. And then Friday night as well here, 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. And next Lord's Day, the 1st of May, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We belong to minister God's word. And then immediately after the morning meeting will be the Lord's table. And that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. Tuesday night, the 3rd of May, 8 o'clock here in the church, there's a special meeting for all communicant members. It's really to vote and to adopt the church constitution, and also for elders to be added as property trustees. That's all really in connection with the Charity Commission regulation in our land. So do remember that, please. And again, I want to thank you all as well for your prayers, for the Consider Christ outreach yesterday down to County Cavan. There was a team of some 45 to 50 people went down yesterday, and some 5,000 to 6,000 homes were visited around the Cavan area. So do pray on. The Lord will bless that, bless the literature that was given out, and that even through that there'd be contacts made even for our church there in Corrigarry, and that they might see souls gathering in there under the sound of God's word. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 480. It's a wonderful hymn, 480. You'll find it in the page 3:6-9, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss and poor contempt and all my pride. We don't take up an offering during the meetings, the offering baskets.
When I
servant. Pray the Lord will richly bless him in the ministry of God's word to our hearts today.
When we arrived this morning, we were very, very impressed by your minister because one of the first words he said was "Privet." He had learned "hello" in Russian, and that made Sasha feel very, very much at home. So there's another word going out if you want to say "Privet." You're saying hello to this man in the language that he understands. Will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians in the chapter 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As we read the Word of God together. I'm going to read from verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And in the reading at the end of the chapter, we know that God will bless his word to every heart. Let's unite in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you today for this special meeting, this missionary day. Thank you, Lord, for the great commission going into the world to preach the gospel. And we praise thee for the way that our small denomination has been used to go to so many places throughout the world to bear the message of Christ to the nations of this earth. We pray as we look into your word for a little time that you will bless it to us. Bless the reading that we have just looked at now, and as we come to examine it a little bit more carefully, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit, the pouring out of his gracious power and influence in this service, to speak to our hearts, to renew our vision, to stir us that we might go out and be what we ought to be for God in our day and generation. Lord, we pray that you will baptize this preacher with God the Holy Spirit, and help me, Lord, to speak well for thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Verse 22 is the text that I want to leave with you, the latter part of it, where the great apostle says, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And very simply, I want to speak to you about reaching the lost by the all means. None can deny the immensity of the burden felt in the heart of the great apostle Paul for the souls of men. Paul had a heart throb for the lost. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He could hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of the souls of men going out into a lost eternity. And he could see that awful eternity to which souls were drifting with absolute clarity and unbeclouded vision. See the great multitude preach to the multitudes. Hear him as he uplifts Christ and him crucified as the only means of salvation. Listen to him as he warns about hell and destruction. Watch him as he weeps over his congregations and he pleaded with them to turn to Christ from their sin. Observe him stand before the high and the mighty as he reasoned with them and persuaded them to become Christians. Listen to his solemn statement as we find it in Romans chapter 9. There's never a time that I read this passage of Scripture, but I'm greatly challenged, these opening words of the chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. No one therefore can deny the fact that here we have a man who was weighed down with a great burden for the unconverted. As he pondered the lost around him, Paul was greatly moved. His heart was filled with love, concern, and zeal for immortal souls. I only wish that I possessed a tenth of the burden that this great man of God had. I mourn over the fact that the church of Jesus Christ is largely unmoved in the days in which we live. The other things have taken over. When was the last time that you really felt for a soul on the road to hell? When was the last time that you were inwardly moved in your heart for a lost, perishing soul? When was the last time that you went to them? You pleaded with them. You begged them to be reconciled to God. When was the last time that you wept over a precious soul? Well, my friends, they will remain lost until the Church of Jesus Christ awakens. We need to be stirred. We need to be revived. We need to be convicted. And I'm not talking about acknowledging certain facts. That's part of it. You've got to have an intellectual knowledge about reality and about what souls are facing when they die without a Savior. You've got to know these things. I'm not referring to being stirred this weekend or this Lord's Day at your missionary services, and then perhaps it comes to little or nothing, or being troubled in your soul as you attend a conference, or as we had last weekend, the missionary convention. I'm talking about having the heart concern of Paul, being moved with the compassion of Christ, who was moved, as you know, with compassion when he saw the multitudes in his day. I'm talking about having that inward burden that the great preacher D.L. Moody had. It is said that he was never content unless he had spoken to at least one soul every day about the things of God. I'm talking about having that deep longing of soul that the great missionary Hudson Taylor had. We are told that the sun never rose upon China without finding Hudson Taylor on his knees in prayer. May God burden our hearts today. How can we go on the way that we do when the world around us is rushing to hell? The church is sleeping while the world is perishing. One day the great Napoleon ran his index finger round a map, and he encircled a particular country. He was speaking to his generals, and he said to them, "There lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep, because if that country ever awakens and is able to harness its manpower the way that they have harnessed its mineral power, they will shake the world." He was referring to the country of China. I see the devil standing by. He's running his finger, not around a map, but around the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, "There lies the church of Jesus Christ. Let it sleep. Because if the church of Christ ever rediscovers the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection of Christ, it will shake the world." Well, my friends, I only want to shake a little part of the world where God has placed me. And I'm sure you feel the same as you ponder over your town here in Enniskillen. But we need a burden. We need a vision. We need eternity etched upon our minds and our hearts. And I want in the closing minutes just to use the words of Paul as we have it here in our text to drive this burden home to your heart and to mine. I want you to consider, first of all, the mission that Paul engaged in. And that can be summarized in the two words, save some. Now, Paul could not save everyone, and nor can we, but he could save some. And this little expression refers to the work, our responsibility, the work that God has committed to us, because only God can save in the strictest sense of the word. Salvation belongeth unto God. It is said of Christ, "He shall save his people from their sins." But you and I, we are ambassadors. We are representatives. We are signposts to the cross. We are instruments in the hand of the Almighty. We are his mouthpieces. And God uses men and women in his hand. And in this sense, we are said to save others. We are the means of reaching them. God's mission becomes our mission. I sat in a home recently, just a few years back, of a non-converted young woman. She was living in a godless relationship. They had a family, but we had the opportunity to visit. She welcomed us into her home. I had a couple of students from the Whitfield College with me. And I wanted to try and get across to her why we're here, why we were visiting her home. And I asked her the question, do you know why we're here? And she said, well, you know why you're here. And I says, I do, but do you know? I want you to tell me. And she looked at me, she says, you want to see me saved. She was getting the message. Men and women, we want to see others saved by the grace of God. The Bible says others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire in Jude verse 24. James said, he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Paul, in our text here, he says to save some. That is our duty. Many of our hymns express this burden. The old general, in his hymn, as he spoke about his passion for souls, he said, to live a dying world to save. Another hymn says, throw out the lifeline and save them today. It was Charles Wesley, in one of my favorite hymns, who said, I want an even strong desire. I want a calmly fervent zeal to save poor souls out of the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell. Tell me, do you live to save some? Do you live a dying world to save? Are you rescuing those who are in their sin? Are you reaching them with the gospel? Are you winning them to Christ? Do you weep o'er the erring one? Do you lift up the fallen? Do you tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save? There is no greater blessing than seeing a lost soul brought to Christ. A soul destined for eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, won to Christ. Oh, the joy that it brings when you see such happening. Think of Luke chapter 15 and those stories that the Savior related of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, and how the Lord talked about the joy, even that joy in heaven, whenever one sinner repents. But there was joy on the earth, because when the woman found her lost coin, she called her neighbors in, rejoice with me. And we know that when the lost sheep was found, he gathered his neighbors, the shepherd did, and said, rejoice with me. And that's a little bit like what it is on earth. When a soul is brought to Christ, the joy that fills our hearts. So, my friends, there is this mission that Paul engaged in. But I want you to notice, secondly, the method that Paul employed. Notice the little phrase, by all means. Now, the indispensable method of reaching the lost is preaching. We know that. We think of that passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10 that the great apostle outlines for us when, from verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he enters into this whole debate with the people that he writes to. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God. The same apostle said when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. However, there is the all means in evangelism. We don't believe in gimmicks. We don't believe in stunts. We don't believe in cheapening the gospel. But we do believe that there is the all means. And that is identifying ourselves with sinners. What did Paul mean in this passage of Scripture? What did he have in mind? when he wrote these words, "I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." To the Jew, he became a Jew. To the Gentile, he became a Gentile. To the weak, he became as weak. In other words, he knew how to adopt his approach and his method. The message never changed, as we shall see, that message that he speaks about in verse 16, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." But he knew how to approach people of different backgrounds. The one approach would not do all. He went to where people gathered in order to meet with them. He went into the synagogues. He went down to marketplaces. He went to a riverside on one occasion. He stood on Mars Hill in Roman courts and in his own home during that time, the latter couple of years of his life when he was in Rome. But yet the gospel was still going out. We must be prepared to identify ourselves with sinners, to go to them, to befriend them, to help them practically if needs be, to be a good neighbor, to do anything that is legitimate, to be made all things unto all men. Now, to be made all things unto all men does not mean that we do sinful things to win the lost. You don't need to take drugs to win the drug addict. You don't need to consume alcohol to win the alcoholic. You don't need to jump around the dance floor to win the young people that are there. That makes nonsense of Scripture. It makes nonsense of the changed life. But we should be prepared to do anything within reason to win the lost. It might mean identifying with a person's culture. Hudson Taylor, when he went as a missionary to China, he wore Chinese clothes. He wore the little Chinese pigtail. What was he doing? He was trying to identify himself. He was trying to win the lost to Christ. It might mean identifying with a person's occupation. One of our evangelists, many, many years ago, as he was going around the countryside, giving invitations to a gospel mission and witnessing to the lost, he came across a farmer. The farmer was busy. He was dunging out his byre. I hope that all translates right down here in Enniskillen, and I'm sure it does. That's what he was doing, but he didn't have time to talk. So this brother, he said, "I'll give you a hand." He went to the boot of his car, he took out his Wellingtons, and he got a grape, and he helped the man. But as he did so, he gave him the gospel, and he shared the things of Christ. It might mean identifying with a person's pastime or with a person's needs. Many times, not only at home, but especially in some of the countries where we have worked, we have given food, we have given clothing. And to me, these are stepping stones into a person's home, into a person's heart, with this one object in view to win them to Christ. And we have seen great success in these things. Has God given you a phone? Have you got the ability to send a text to somebody and share the gospel? Are you in social networking sites? You know, you go into Facebook and these other things, and I'm told Twitter is for the young. I don't know if that's right or not, but anyhow, very often it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing. It's all about me. It's me with a capital M. But why not promote Christ? Why not share the gospel on these social networking platforms? I can remember hearing of Paul Hsu. He was from Singapore. In fact, he visited our church many years ago in Balamani. But I can remember hearing about this dear man of God. He had a church in Singapore. 170 people attended. The building had the seating capacity of 250 people. For many years, I think it was 7 years, he saw the work going nowhere. It didn't go forward. And then one day, he came to this realization before God. And he said, "Lord, I have been laboring here thinking all the time that this work was mine. This work is not mine. This is the Lord's work. And today, Lord, I am handing the work over to you." He stood up in front of his congregation. He confessed what he felt was the same sin. And he said to the congregation, "We've been laboring here thinking that this work is ours. It's not God's work. We're handing it over to him." He encouraged the congregation to get involved in outreach work. He said, God has given you ability. He's given you talents. You go and use those talents for the glory of God. There was a skateboard instructor in his church. That young man gathered young people around him, taught them how to skateboard at the same time, gave them the gospel, brought them to church. There was a woman, and she was greatly gifted in sewing. She gathered her neighbors in. She taught them how to dressmake. She gave them the gospel, invited them to church. Somebody else was good at cooking. I think they started something like 25 different ministries. Everybody used the talent, the ability that God had given to them, and they used it to promote the gospel of Christ. It wasn't long before the Lord began to move. And I'm told that the church grew to 750 people. 250 people could fit in the church. That was a problem. And you can't build in Singapore. It's all a built-up area. So they had to have three services every Lord's Day, 250 at each. Use the talent that God has given to you, the ability that God has granted to you, and use it for His great name's sake. How do we reach the multitudes? How do we reach the unchurched? How do we reach the hundreds and hundreds of people who do not go out anywhere on the Lord's Day? It's an age-old question, isn't it? And the fact of the matter is, we're not reaching them. We're not seeing them brought to Christ. We're not even meeting with many of them. How many unsaved do you meet with in a given week? Well, my friends, we're not to do silly things, but there are legitimate things to do. The message never changes, but the methods do. We think of Jock Troop those years ago in the city of Glasgow. He opened up the soup kitchen, and he got in the down-and-outs, and he fed them, but he also fed them with the gospel. We think of the great Spurgeon, and he hired out Surrey Music Hall and gathered in the people. I think it was 10,000 people to preach the gospel to them. We believe in the all things, and therefore we ought to get involved in God's work in this way. I have one final point that I want to make, and that is the message that Paul emphasized. We know that Paul only had one message. He never deviated from that message. And that message was Christ and Him crucified. In all that we do, the message will never change. It will always be the same. We can never, never depart from the one God-given message ordained from all eternity for the saving of souls. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." He was referring to the cross, that day when He would be lifted up. That's where the drawing power is. It's the cross. The way of the cross leads home. And this message is not up for grabs. We can never deviate from it. We can never alter it. We can never compromise it. We can never water it down. People can only be saved through Christ crucified. Oh, yes, we must befriend them. We must show them love. We must be practical. We must identify ourselves with them. That's what Paul's speaking about here. We must get down to their level. We must show an interest in them. This is called winning. Winning. But the message will always be dominant. It's the message of Christ and Him crucified. So, my friends, what are you doing to bring the lost to Christ? What will you do from this day forward? What changes will you make? What ministry will you get involved in? What sacrifices are you prepared for? What promises will you make to the Lord? What souls will you win to Christ? Only God knows what will happen if we take this work seriously, the work of evangelism. Only God knows what will happen if we unite together to overthrow the strongholds of Satan. Only God knows what will happen when the sleeping giant awakens. So there's a call on this missionary day to you to be a missionary just where you are, to reach out to the lost and to bring them to Christ. My dear friends, 150,000 people right across this world will die today. What are you doing to even reach one of them with the gospel. Amen.
We're just going to bring our meeting to a close this morning by singing together the hymn number 526 in your hymn book, 526, in the page 388 of your hymn book. I want to thank our brother today for coming and faithfully preaching God's word, and may God bless his word to all our hearts today, to be up and doing for the Lord. For the word of God tells us that the night cometh when no man can work. We pray the Lord will bless our brother in his own ministry and continue to use him for his honor and glory. But this is a great missionary hymn. It says, I have only one life on this earth, and its vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. We'll stand as we sing, and may it be the prayer, the burden of our hearts today as God's people, that we might give ourselves afresh to the Lord, to his cause, to his kingdom, and to win others and to see others saved by the grace of God divine. 526, standing as we sing. Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for thy word and for help given in the faithful ministry of thy word. Bless thy truth to all our hearts. We thank thee for each one that is saved. And give us, Lord, each one that fresh vision and that fresh burden, even to save some, to see others saved by our life, by our testimony, by our influence day by day. May we never deviate from the great truths of the gospel. But Lord, help us to use those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those opportunities that come our way in daily life to be a witness and a signpost, Lord, for thee. For any in our gathering today not saved, may they come to rest and to trust in the crosswork of Christ alone. For their salvation, we pray. Bless your servant, bless his ministry, Ballymoney, and in the missionary council and the mission board as well, and continue to use him for the furtherance of the gospel across the world. Be with us now, we pray. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us journeying mercy. Speak on to our hearts and return us again in thy will this evening hour. Bless the meetings as they continue, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.